Hey everyone, it's Ben. Just wanted to stop in before the In Space season of Voices from the Grid got kicked off and talk about our scripted introductions. In Space is our sixth season, and for the first four, we were doing these cool scripted introductions that had characters and storylines and sound effects and music, and it simply, it was something that we thought we could offer that no one else did, and it was a bit of fun. We didn't have any last season for Turbo because I was very ill. We had them scripted, but we didn't get to record them. Then for this season for In Space, I'll be honest with you, life got in the way. Adulting really sucks. It's just not a good time. And after a long conversation, we decided that the scripted intros probably won't be a thing moving forward, with the exception of the first episode of Lost Galaxy, which I will leave a mystery for now. But you won't have any scripted intros this season, and I'm sorry about that. We also probably won't be doing them in Lightspeed Rescue and beyond. So, yeah, for those of you who liked the scripted intros, we apologize. Time is not on our side. And for those of you that didn't like them, well, rejoice, because they're gone. So, yeah, that being said, I will leave you now to enjoy the first episode of Voices from the Grid Reviews, Power Rangers in Space.
Ladies and gentlemen, and nerds of all ages and genders, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I am the one, the only, the eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan. And today I am joined by the same horde you've been listening to for forever now. It is our Blue Ranger, Michael Lindenbaum, who is wearing red for some reason.
Yep. It's what I do. It is hockey season at the time of recording, so this is going to be a natural thing.
And we are joined by our Pink Ranger.
How the hell did we make it 3 minutes in and you've already mentioned hockey?
Technically, it's like 30 seconds because this recording just started and no one cares about what happened.
Let's also be honest. Pre-production, Ben, you brought it up beforehand. So
technically, Ben, you did start it. All right. And now, if I may, zip it. We're joined by our Pink Ranger, who's currently wearing blue for some reason. Brian Massey.
Visual references in an audio podcast? What?
And last but certainly never least, it is our green... Wait a minute. No, that's not right. It is our Black Ranger.
There's a simple explanation for that.
Yeah.
There's no Green Ranger.
Shut up, Jose.
After 5 seasons of shaky Power Rangers and one very awesome episode involving a pizza, let's see if this can get better.
Well, we are about to find out, as this is technically the end of an era. Power Rangers is canceled, guys.
Yeah.
So that's it. This is the last season, and we can go home after this. Woo, Michael, you've made it. You've survived.
All right.
This is the beginning of one of many people's favorite season of the franchise, Power Rangers in Space. And so let's start with the fact that this is a season that it doesn't actually start with our Rangers. It starts in the deep trenches of space. Now we'll get to our heroes in a second. We'll get to our heroes in a second and where they are. Yes, Ben.
Point of order. It starts with a flashback to Divatox winning.
Ah, yes, you're right. I stand corrected. After Divatox's spectacular win, he is excitedly attending a summit of villains who are, have some mixed feelings about her. So maybe we should start this episode talking about this opening sequence, because we get an explanation of what happened the previous season to catch us up. But we don't start with the Rangers, who literally flew off into space. We start with Diva Talks salivating at her victory.
So I have to say, I love how they actually did the previously on Power Rangers, because it was a really good way to like loop everyone in, kind of like the way the first Turbo episode was to like kind of catch people up on the movie that of like why Justin's there in the first place. So I think doing this previously on Power Rangers was a good way to kind of get people
Yeah.
up to speed real quick.
I keep forgetting there was a Turbo movie.
You and me both.
But I'm jumping slightly though because it kind of carries in hand too. I hate the fact that they did the intro before the Rangers meet Andros and gain the in-space powers, because it's like that opening video of like it shows them in the suits and like you don't get that right away. It's like they should have held off on that and just
The other
not
thing
cut.
about the other thing about the actual like the banquet for Dark Spectre or whatever you want to call it, the meeting of the minds, the whatever, the thing that was foreshadowed in the Millennium Message or whatever it's called, is they kind you kind of see. We talk a lot about how Power Rangers should have grown up with its audience, right?
Yes.
But we see somewhat of a development through the eras of Power Rangers, right? Because you see the four female leads of the six seasons that we've been through, whereas you get like Rita, who's the older witch, and then you get a very brief glimpse of the Queen of the Machine Empire.
They're back. All
Yeah.
rebuilding things.
Then there's and I talked about this a little while we were doing Turbo, in the fact that Diva Tox is very comfortable in her sexuality and how I'm sure she was an awakening for many young men. And then we get Astronomer, who is foot to shoulder in black PVC tight form hugging high heeled gloves corset.
The first of many interchangeable wigs.
And she is chewing scenery like her life depended on it. Like it's
Oh, part two of this from out of nowhere. Like, you see her just on a set. Right. And you clearly tell she's on a set, and just the way she is like giving the orders
Well, it's not
and
even that. It's
everything.
like
It's
there's the
like,
moment where they're sat at the table, and Diva Talks notices that the man in the figure in the cloak hasn't drunk. Says, "Are you good
Well,
to
because
drink with this?"
they toasted Dark Spectre. That's
Yeah.
very important.
Yeah. They toast the Dark Spectre and everyone else drunk. And she's like, "Are you too good to drink with us? Who are you?" And she just goes, "Jesus." Bah. And her mouth is like the size of Andros's head.
Like she would have not
Like
been
she
out of place.
unhinges, like she unhinges her jaw and starts swallowing whole rodents like a snake.
She would not have been out of place in like a 60s like sci-fi B movie.
Yeah, she could have
Like
been
straight
like a
up.
Batman 66 villain, like that.
I was literally
So
just about to
we're
say
gonna get
Batman
to
66 too.
I do have a question about some of the motifs a little bit later.
Okay.
So let's Brian, Mike, before we kind of go through the story of what's happening right now, any thoughts about this opening sequence? Because there's so much that is established very, very quickly in terms of the villains.
I love how Diva Tox and Rita just hate each other, which by the way, the Rita that we're seeing is actually played by Carla Perez, but still voiced by Barbara Goodson.
As God intended.
And it's really cool because that's actually also how we get our introduction to Astronema, because Diva Tox, or no, Rita shoots something at Diva, shoots from her scepter at Diva Tox, and Diva Tox ducks it, and Astronema catches it with her hand and just kind of like just that. So it's like the hatred between the two leading up to the intro to Diva or to Astronema was actually pretty nice, like how they did that. So
it's also a nice little callback to the beginning of Turbo, where Divatox calls Rita and is like, "Do you have any advice on killing the Power Rangers?" And she's like, "Oh, you have no chance." And then Divatox shows up and goes, "I did it." And Rita's like,
well, no, but before Rita goes to Zed and goes, "Is that true?" And Zed's like, "Well, I have heard the rumors." Yeah.
So then this gets us to the next question then, because when they get the whole thing about the reveal that, oh, I'm sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I had some thoughts about it too, but if we wanted to move on.
No, please share away.
Well, one of my first thoughts was, man, Rita and Zed sure are close to King Mondo and the Queen. That's kind of interesting. I really would love to see what had happened off stage with them. Like, able to even be in the same room with each other, because, you know, it was an attempted murder last time we saw the two of them.
It's fine. They're villains. They get over that really quick.
I also... one real quick, did anybody else see Dark Spectre and was just like, Al Gore?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Divatox literally goes, "You remind me of my ex-fiance."
Yep.
Like,
so they are fully aware of what they are doing. So yes, for anybody who hasn't seen it, Dark Spectre is Malagor. Or I can't believe it's not Malagor. But the less said about Turbo movie at this point, the better. So one of the things that is established here is we have this reveal of this mysterious Red Ranger who just like snuck into a villain summit like a boss and then gets out before they can catch him.
There is a small note here that goes quite unseen by a lot of people that I don't think gets mentioned enough.
Do tell.
When we see White Ranger Tommy dueling Lord Zed, Zed is so strong, he knocks Saba out of his hands, he just dominates Tommy, right? Andros parries Lord Zed without even trying. He's just like, "Ding, yeah, I'm out of here." And all of the villains stand around while the rocket sled shows up and don't do anything.
Oh, the rocket glider?
Yeah.
Whatever. The flying surfboard thing.
Yeah, but like he calls for it and they all just stand there. And it's like 90% of you have ranged weapons. Just shoot him.
Well, Andros will be using some shooting shenanigans against the Quantrons later on. But what's interesting here is Dark Spectre doesn't dispatch a Divatox to deal with this ranger or figure out the spy. He sends his new favorite child, Astronema. Now, obviously, this is done to establish Astronema as the new villain. But it's interesting that the only person at the summit who actually has experience...
Canonically.
canonically, who has experience defeating their Power Rangers is Divatox. And yet, she is not sent on this mission.
Well, I think a big reason for that is because of the fact that, you know, you had literally Rita and Divatox like pulling each other's hair.
That's true.
Trying to get Dark Spectre to send them to do it. And he's like, you know, y'all can go cat fight over to the side. I'm sending Astronema out to do this.
And Astronema was the one to surmise that he was a spy, even though it was very obvious, but that's okay. She's the one that called it out. Although, actually, no, isn't Divatox the first one to call him out? And she goes, "Hey, he didn't drink with us."
Well, yeah, Divatox is the one to call him out, but it's Astronema who declares him the spy.
Declares him a spy. Yeah.
I mean, you try imbibing liquids wearing a helmet like that.
Yeah. There's air holes somewhere.
Any thoughts on the introduction so far of this random Red Ranger before we get into who he is in a little bit? Even though we don't learn that much about him.
I like how there's that moment where he unrobes after fighting a little bit and he just shows off the Red Ranger outfit and he just strikes a pose and everyone just stares at him and he's like, okay.
They weren't expecting the outfit. They're used to the older outfits, you know?
Yeah, but it was still like a moment of like where like, I mean, obviously, yes, it's also to get the kids to be familiarized with this new outfit at the same time, too. But it was just like one of those moments of like, You know, Andrews is like, well, of course, we don't know at the time his name is Andrews yet. He's just Red Ranger. And it's like, sup, I'm
And
here.
we do learn one very important thing before we move on. It is that Dark Spectre has captured Zordon and is draining his energy. I'm sure that's a significant plot point that will we know it's a significant plot point.
I love how, like, when they show Zordon, he's in like a mini tube. And it's just like a painted on or like a printed out a piece of paper of David Fielding's face just put into this little mini tube.
If it works, it works, man.
Yeah.
Now let's get to our heroes who are still very ragged. They're torn up clothes from when they got their butts handed to them by Astronema and or by Divatox. Sorry. My brain has already switched to In Space and has already forgotten Turbo Guys. Benishing these head, like, how dare I forget Divatox?
You put some respect on that woman's name.
After getting their asses handed to them by Divatox, they off to space to try to rescue Zordon. But Alpha has some glitchiness with his voice box, and they end up approaching this mysterious, and I can't believe it's just hanging out in space spaceship. What do you guys think of this opening sequence of the Rangers arriving onto what we know is the Astro Mega Ship and kind of like playing detective of like, we're on a spaceship?
Tell me it wasn't Star Wars with the tractor beam without telling me it was Star Wars with the tractor beam.
Michael, I have a question about that later. Be quiet.
So my first instinct is, we know that the Council of Evil took place on the Sumerian planet. So why is the Astro Mega Ship in orbit of Earth?
Was it in orbit of Earth?
I think it was. I don't think it was in the orbit of Earth. I think it was in the orbit of the Milky Way, or in the Milky Way in general, because
still,
because it showed Jupiter.
Yeah,
right. Still,
I think what it was is that glider can just do warp speed, and
right. But still, if my point is more, if the Sumerian planet is that close to Earth, and Divatox has taken over Earth, why not just have the Council of Evil on Earth?
That's a great question, actually.
Because we what's the evil one in DC? The Legion of Doom is already has headquarters down there, so they stake claim.
I was about to say the Republican.
The United Alliance of Evil.
The United Alliance of Evil. Right.
Oh, what did I call them? What were they from? Dr. Horrible. I can't remember off the top of my head now.
Guys, the acronym is literally the UAE.
Yeah. The Evil League of Evil.
The Evil League of Evil and Bad Horse.
Yes.
The Thoroughbred of Sin.
The United Alliance of Evil, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, if Dark Spectre had waited like 10 more minutes, there would be no Power Rangers to fight him. Like, as for like getting on the ship, as a person who's watched some Star Trek in his life, it very much felt like, especially with Decker, it felt a lot like, what if we were making a Star Trek TV kids show, right? Because like, it just felt a bit like that Decker was like the Enterprise computer turned up to like 15. I do like that they made it that the Rangers didn't like Decker. Because they kept telling him to shut up and let them do their jobs, which is quite funny.
Even Alpha at the end of the episode turns her voice off, like, yeah, I got this girl, thanks.
I mean, there's some point later on in the episode where I literally just instinctively, because it felt so much like Star Trek to me, and maybe it was also because I was tired, but like when they're trying to fix whatever the MacGuffin is in that room, I was like, oh no, they're out of the lithium crystals, like, or something. Like, yeah. It just, I don't know, it totally gave me that vibe.
It's interesting because apparently the internet knew that we were going to be doing In Space soon. So all these articles were inundating my algorithm. And one of them was like, while it gives off vibes of Star Trek, the overall story arc is Star Wars.
So funny enough, this is...
All and right, they actually had convincing arguments in the articles too.
I guess this... I was going to leave this question for the end, but fine, Mike, you ruined my entire setup. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Which is the question of whether this is more Star Wars than Star Trek. And even the actors themselves, as we found out at Ranger Station, had some feelings about that very subject.
I think it's a 50-50.
I also think it's 50-50. There are enough elements, like Ben said, right? Them appearing on the ship, Deka, what's it called? The food computer, very Star Trek-y.
Very replicator.
The replicator, yeah. Thank you. Right, so all of those elements are very Star Trek, but at the same time, there's a lot of nods to Star Wars. I think one of the planets they even go to is a Star Wars reference.
Well, not only that, but it's also, when we get deeper into the season, you look at the story between Astronema and Andros. That's very
no
more...
No spoilers!
That's more Star Wars. You look at Zordon. He's kind of like the way things are at the end. That's a little bit Star Wars because of the way Obi-Wan Kenobi went out in
episode four. So that's where the 50-50 comes in.
To
counterpoint some points here, this episode is very much more Star Trek than it is Star Wars.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
I agree.
However, I would disagree with the sentiment that either of them is the major influence for Power Rangers in Space, and I think Power Rangers in Space is much closer to Babylon 5 than it is to either of them, because in Star Wars, while you have a few moments where things look bleak for the good guys, right? The Death Star, that kind of thing, right?
Empire.
Yeah. You know that the good guys are going to win, right? And more importantly, the difference being, to me at least, is the fact that in both Power Rangers in Space and Babylon 5, anything can happen, right? The perfect example being what we will see in the finale that we, as the four of us, have been hyping up for five seasons at this point, which is the emergence of the heroes that aren't the heroes, right? That doesn't happen in either. It doesn't happen in Star Wars at all. It happens in Star Trek occasionally, as you'll see, like a Lower Decker or a non-commissioned officer will come up with a solution to a problem, but it will never be to a universe-ending problem like Bulk and Skull will be. Whereas you see that several times in Babylon.
That's actually really cool, really great point, Ben. It kind of makes me want to track down the showrunner and see if he'd be willing to answer that question for us. But I think at the end of the day, it's a blend. Basically, what this all comes down to is that Power Rangers in Space is a blend of all of these different sci-fi shows. So if you're a Star Wars fan, of course, you're going to see a lot of Star Wars elements. If you're a Star Trek fan, you're going to see a lot more things here. And same thing with Babylon 5.
There's another sci-fi show that will gets referenced as well, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, my.
Which is our very next episode that Brian and I get to do.
Not gonna lie, so glad I am not there.
Cowabunga, dudes.
Hey, Brian, when we do that call for that episode, right, we're just going to find a way to loop Ben and Sasha into that episode.
No,
hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, what? Hold
Y'all
on.
get to enjoy the Ninja Turtles.
Look, I'd happily do the episode, but I'm not assigned to it.
Yeah, it's not like we didn't have a meeting where we, you know, figured out who was doing what episode or whatnot.
I didn't say Brian and I weren't going to do the episode, but just anyway, find a way to loop y'all in.
I'm busy that weekend. I'm busy on that day.
Answer the direct question. I don't think you can say either of the two influenced it more. It is inspired by many different sci-fis.
I think to add on, you know, I originally said like 50-50, but then when Ben said Babylon 5 and did the explanation, I would say it's probably like a 33.
There's also like this Stargate stuff in there, and there's like Space 1999 stuff in there.
I think,
can I make a confession? I've actually never watched Babylon 5.
All right, kicking Brian.
If it makes
out
you
of
feel
the
better,
court.
I haven't since I was like 5. So, all right. So, Brian and I are going to do, you know, Babylon 5 rewatch. All right. Cool.
And you can watch Space 1999 on Twitch.
Back to Power Rangers. Back to action. So, there comes a point where, you know, Ashley figures out the replicator. And Carlos notices there's a plate of food on the tables. And then is this when we see also Andros fighting with the Quantrons as he's fleeing back to the ship?
Yes.
So then I guess maybe this is a dumb question, but this is Power Rangers. Was he like in the middle of dinner and was like, oh yeah, by the way, here's a news alert. The United Alliance of Evil is having a meeting.
It had to have been something like that because like A, the food is still warm.
Right.
And B, he left it there in such a hurry. And I think he was even dining next to those, like, those tubes, whatever those tubes are, the Discovery Zone, like, you know,
next to the warp core.
They're the things that they go into to get on the galaxy gliders.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he had to have gotten some kind of alert or some kind of message or.
Deka told him, hey, they're meeting.
Yeah.
What actually happened is, while he was away, Zane woke up and fancied a cheeseburger.
And then he went back to bed.
Yeah.
Set for like off. How many episodes?
Perfect explanation.
All right.
It makes so much sense. That, like, for all we know, Coda wanted a cheeseburger.
Oh, right? And I got to throw something out there also.
We're still on part one.
I should note that Andrew's getting found out by them. He kind of also did it to himself because, to be fair, he didn't really do the best job of blending in either. Like, there were a few moments before he got called out where he's like walking around, he's got the hood over, and like they're looking at him going like, who are you?
I don't think he intended to be there long. Because we do see over the course that Andros can be very stealthy when necessary, but in this case, I think because this was so quick, he was kind of maybe going by the whole, I'm going to get in, get whatever intel I can, and get the heck out of here as soon as I'm caught. But it's still a very great scene that segues us kind of further into this episode and establishes our new villain and our new mysterious, as of yet mysterious, Red Ranger.
And I will argue that that was a good way for him to get information. The only downside about that is, now that they know what that disguise looks like, he can only get away with that once. So that's the only bummer about that.
Pretty sure it's used more than once, or am I crazy?
Well, I mean, like with them specifically, I mean, sure, he goes and uses it like in some outpost later on, but like I'm talking with like the head honchos, they're going to be like, hey, keep a lookout for that guy with that hood and whatever. Like,
that cloak.
No, fair points. In his defense, this was a very quick kind of news alert. So let's get, yes, Ben.
Just really want to mention how much of a banger the theme is.
Oh, we'll get, yes, thank you.
Okay.
I was getting to that. Okay. So in between the scene of the United Alliance of Evil meeting, we get another fabulous Ron Wasserman theme song in Power Rangers in Space. And as Ben just pointed out,
it's an absolute banger.
That's it, guys. There are no other comments allowed about the theme song other than how amazing it is.
Yeah,
No
just
disagreement.
yeah, just for all that you can say about Mighty Morphin, Zeo, Turbo, the themes have been absolute bangers, right? Like,
Thank you, Ron Wasserman.
yeah.
We miss you. Like, he's not just
I mean,
in.
he did work on the X-Men 97 theme. I
Yes,
mean,
I'm
that
pretty
is
sure he
true.
mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's get to this for what are your thoughts on the Rangers finally meeting our Red Ranger, or the Red Ranger seeing these four random humans on his ship?
What you doing snooping on my ship? That's literally the Red Rangers. Like, what are you doing on my ship? I actually like TJ's initiative. Like, not just like, throughout this entire thing, from like the moment we have TJ meet the Red Ranger and then eventually the reveal of that's Andros, all the way up to where the ship is getting attacked. Like, TJ is showing like really good initiative like throughout this entire episode. And that's one thing I picked up that was like, I'm glad that that kind of carried over because that was something they were building with TJ in Turbo.
Now, can I ask a question? And I'm this is not me assuming anything, but like, is it like doing that, or is it also out of like not desperation, but it's like there's really like nothing else he can do, because like he literally just saw everything like to poopy. Sorry, I'm trying not to cuss. He everything just like blew up, like. And like now they're like, we have to do something. And of course he's going to take the initiative, but it's like he doesn't really have anything else he can do. There's no plan B here, I think.
There isn't. Like, they didn't even have a fully planned out plan when they, grabbed the rocket from Nisada and went off to space. It
Like,
was like,
plan
oh,
A.
we're gonna get to Eltar, except now they're in another ship.
Plan A isn't even a capital A. It's more of like a lowercase one at this point. Like, the way it's like, okay, we got to make sure, this
I
might work.
wonder if that spaceship that brought them to the Astro Mega ship will be important later.
Yeah. Like, we talked about this a little in the Turbo finale, right? Where,
Perhaps.
like, Justin sort of whispers in the director of Nassada's ear, mentions the word Zordon, and all of a sudden, the director of Nassada is willing to throw a multi-billion-dollar spaceship at four teenagers.
And a 10-year-old or 12-year-old.
Yeah, which indicated to us that he may actually know what he like he would have had contact with Zordon, right? So what we learn later in the movie, or later in the two-part episode, kind of doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's I think that's very fair. So we know there's this little bit of conflict between the Rangers and this other Ranger, right? Where our Red Ranger thinks they were sent here by Dark Spectre, that they're the bad guys. There's a little bit of a kerfuffle. The Astro Mega ship gets attacked. There's an emergency landing on a planet that has oxygen. Convenient. And the episode essentially ends when TJ and the others help this Red Ranger fight Astronema and the Quantrons, or just the Quantrons. Oh no, Astronema too.
No. So what it is that the ship gets attacked. TJ gets the help of two of them. I believe it's Carlos and Cassie to help him put one of the cables back in for the engine. They do the crash landing, and then the episode actually ends with TJ pretty much going, "No, we're coming to help you." And it ends with them stopping, with them running out, because that's where we
Yes.
come back for the second part.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the fact that we have not seen our Red Ranger yet demorphed. What do you guys think? Is it worth the buildup of the reveal, or is it just for funsies?
I think it's worth it because you need to have some little bit of mystery going into it, and the fact that they did it in the second part and not the first part was fine. because technically speaking, he was still under duress because he knew that they're coming after him. So staying morphed made sense for him at the time. And then when obviously they, in the beginning of part two, they defeat the Quanatrons, it gave him a chance to properly be able to power down. So I think it worked out like the way it should have worked out in that sense.
Okay. So then part two opens with them fighting some Quantrons. And finally, after, yes.
I do have something to add on the reveal part.
Please. We're right at it. So have at it.
Because there's a really, like, there are two somewhat throwaway lines that are intimating that the Power Rangers universe is bigger than they think they were, which is Andros calls them planetary rangers, which infers that there are Power Rangers on other planets.
Who maybe travel from one planet to another.
That too. And also the whole thing about, of course, Earth aren't the, isn't the only planet that humans live on. When we find out about KO-35, which I don't know, I just.
What are the odds that evolution happened the same way twice?
Yeah.
I mean, we do learn later on that there's a few subtle differences between the KO-35 humans and our
Yeah,
us,
like certain
but
telepathic powers.
that I'm sure are consistently used throughout the season.
I mean,
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, my headphones were kind of going out for a second.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what I was gonna say was too, this is like the first instance of this happening, but later on, and I'm not going to call them out, but like we do get instances of like humans or humanoids in multiple different seasons moving forward. So this is kind of setting the precedence here for it's like, yeah, there are people like humans out in the galaxy, and they're just as capable and worthy of being Power Rangers as humans on Earth are. So that's kind of
Which we
cool.
kind of already knew to some degree because of the equations, but fair. Okay, so then let's talk about finally the we actually meet Andros, our Red Ranger. What are your initial thoughts on Andros as a character? And Ashley's weird poking your human moment.
You mean Ashley gawking over Andros?
I mean, look, for some it was Diva Talks. For some it was Andros. Just saying, just saying.
For some, it was both.
Exactly.
And then for those of us who really started with Power Rangers, it was Kim and maybe for the women, Tommy.
Okay. Anyway, the moving away from whatever Mike had going on as a child that I don't want to know about. What are your thoughts on
He's
Andros as a
really into
character?
Tommy.
I said Kim first for the record.
I know you did.
We heard you. We were just moving on.
Welcome to the season premiere of In Space, where it's just a total train wreck.
Look,
Fantastic.
You can
we were
tell we
talking
haven't
about
recorded together in a
people.
while.
We were talking about people growing up with Power Rangers, okay?
Yeah.
Like by the
Yeah.
time In Space hits, some of us are like not 10 years old
Yeah.
anymore. So,
Yeah.
some of us aren't actually watching the show anymore at this point.
Yeah,
I
I think that's something else that needs to be sort of brought up, right? In Space is the first season that we're doing that I'm not sure any of us have massive nostalgia glasses for.
No.
No, because I did not see In Space until when did it come out on DVD? Through Shout Factory.
I want to say
Probably
2012.
2000 something.
Yeah, if it was like 2012, I think Brian was right, and that was around the time I probably saw it for the very first time. And like for me, this is literally second watch through of this season for
Yeah,
the
it's my
show.
second watch through too.
Same.
So So I'm the one with the possible nostalgia goggles here, guys,
That
because
is
I actually watched
interesting.
it. So first of all, the Power Rangers DVDs came out for In Space in 2014. I was watching this on Disney XD or Jetix in the early 2000s. So this was probably me, putting my baby brother in front of the TV going, "Look, Power Rangers." So I don't know. Here's the thing, like I've rewatched this season and many others so many times that I don't know to what extent I have nostalgia, and to what it is just the fact that I just enjoy it. So we'll find out. So let's talk a little bit about Andros really isn't like super keen on these guys. Like, sure, they helped him fight some Quantrons, but like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did all right.
I almost wonder, and I don't want to like spoil the rest of the season, but I want to wonder because Andros is very guarded at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna, you speaking on this, if like I was watching this for the first time, he's extremely guarded. And he's the only ranger on board, seemingly, anyways. So the question has to be, have a team, and if so, what happened to them? And is that why he sees these guys and he's so reluctant to, help? Like he's been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we see this again in Wild Force, in the beginning of Wild Force with the Yellow Ranger, because when they bring in the guy who becomes the Red Ranger, she's kind of like a little guarded of the team, going like, we've been here for a while, why does this guy become like the leader? So you kind of see that a little bit in a different way a few
Yeah.
seasons later down the road. So
So Andros kind of dismisses the Rangers and is like, okay, thanks for your help. You can go home now. But the Rangers can't quite go home because they leave the megaship, but Alpha has other ideas. And we're also finally out. We should note that Alpha finally has a new voice. How do we feel about the new voice?
Thank
Better than
God.
Brooklyn.
I don't know if we could
Yo,
even call it Brooklyn.
ranges. I
The
couldn't
less said
stand it.
about that, the better, I guess.
But can I also mention, before we get to what Alpha and Deka do with Andros, I really love the fact that Andros is really like dropping them off on the side of the road, essentially, and ditching them. It's like he leaves the little ship for them, but he's like,
Well, that's the ship they came on.
I know, but it's essentially he's just like, yeah, I'm just dropping you off on the side of the road. Good luck later, ditches them.
Have some cab fare, bye.
He does fix something or does something to make
He
it so that they can go home, though.
changes the navigation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sets the navigation back to Earth. It's quite interesting because I was trying to keep quiet because I've talked a lot in the first half of this. But to hark back for a moment to the thing about Andros not trusting the Rangers, as we find out a little later in I can't remember the name of the episode. I was trying to remember the name of the episode. We find out that Andros's reason to have trust issues, right? And I really like that we basically had our first, and I liked this the first time I was watching as well. We have our first time that our Rangers don't get along from Jump Street, right?
Yeah.
From the moment when the original five were recruited, everyone's gotten along like that, right? Whereas this time, Andros is like, we've just met. I don't trust you. You could be spies from Dark Spectre, like, whatever, right? And I really liked that. It sort of wretch it ratcheted up the tension's not even the right word. It made me feel like competent adults were writing the show.
It made you feel like competent adults were writing the show. Yeah, I can see that.
As opposed to the writers of Final Fantasy XIV, who assume you're just going to like everyone you meet.
I agree. I like that, you know, it's not like, oh, hi, new friend. We're best friends forever now, like immediately off the get-go. You know what I mean? There's actually a little bit of tension between them, and they have to build a rapport and have to build trust.
I would have given anything, and I mean anything, for there to be like episode 3 or 4 of Turbo and just have like 3 or 4 of Turbo's new team, not the original, and just have Carlos being like, why do I have to work with Justin? He's scrappy dude. I hate him.
So I think what's important to note here is that, yes, there is this tension, but also what makes this a little bit different is that it's not really the Ranger. It's not one of those cutesy moments where the Rangers are like, we want to be best friends and work through this. It's actually Alpha that convinces Andros that you can't go save Zordon alone and that you're gonna need help, that actually pushes Alpha's here is like middlemanning. He's like, he knows these guys need new powers and a Ranger, and Andros needs a posse. So like, let's get to it.
Well, it's not just Alpha. Dekka is also, Alpha and Dekka at the same time, pretty much telling Andros, it's like, you need them.
There's also the moment where they repair the engine and Andros says to himself, oh, they were telling the truth about not being with us.
They do help him a little bit.
And I like the fact that after Alpha and Dekka tell him, like, hey, you need them, we see the flashbacks of what has just occurred in these two parts. So up to that point, of like Ashley lending the hand to help him up after he's working on the control panel, and obviously them refusing to fight him when he first sees him on the ship, and the helping in the engine room, and you know, the fact that TJ's willing to put his hand out for a handshake. You know, the seeing all these moments lead up to that, to where Andros now has I'll work with them type of deal. And then we actually do see a little bit of that tension in a few episodes, because as Sasha remembers when we're at Ranger Station, in episodes 3 and 4, there were some of those moments of trust issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's those moments that we've been asking for, where teams don't instantly gel, even though they're willing to work together.
Right? And there is a progression over the course of this two-parter in Andros, right? As we've already kind of talked about, he starts off thinking they're spies from Dark Spectre to actually embracing them as teammates, at least for the moment. So let's talk a little bit about, let's move on to the morph and the suits. What do we think about the morpher, the entire sort of morph sequence, and of course the suits?
So I want to throw this out there, and I know we're going to have Brian talk more about the Sentai, but because I actually got to see it recently because Toku Shoutsu's Twitch channel was showing it, they were actually showing the Sentai counterpart. And one of the things that I found interesting is that the morph, like when they hit the buttons, it's actually done in English in the Sentai. Mm-hmm. So that is actually a full carry on from the Sentai to Power Rangers, which was interesting. Sorry, Brian, I'm stealing that one and only thing from you. Okay.
That's totally fine.
I was watching it recently. That's all.
So I guess this is a really good segue question, Brian. We talked a little bit before we started recording that this season largely is not using a lot of Sentai shenanigans. Can you tell us a little bit about the Sentai and sort of what themes it's going, and how much of what we're seeing, at least, is most of this seems to be original footage versus what Sentai?
Yes. Space gets its footage from Denji Sentai Mega Ranger, which is the 21st Super Sentai season. And there is, so Nasada is a carryover because that is Sentai footage where they have the ship launching up. But actually see the Red Ranger get recruited onto the team by going into a Japanese arcade, playing this game. There's some bully that's like, I don't know, there's some Japanese trope where like there's like a bully who's just like, hey, challenge me in a game, but like if I win, you can never come here again. And he beats the guy. Turns out that game, which just happens to be called like Mega Ranger and is like it has the Rangers in there, is a recruiting it's a recruiting tool to like assess the skills of the Rangers. So it's kind of like The Last Starfighter a little bit. While the Megazord itself does go into space and transforms and all that stuff, and all that footage is from Sentai, it's very ground-based and more of a video game and technology-themed season. And like, I think there's also a virtual reality involved. And sometimes you will see in the helmets, like you'll see like a computer, you'll see like a cell phone or something. And those are actually powers that those Rangers use in battle and like to figure out what their problems are. Kind of don't do that in Power Rangers in Space, which I think is kind of, you know, kind of sucks. One of the things I think is kind of amusing is when you see the morphing sequence complete, like morpher, like, or the, like during the morph, you can actually see where it says Mega Ranger ready, like not being fully blocked out morph. So it's little stuff like that I kind of find amusing that, like, you know, I look for in the season.
That's really cool, Brian. Thank you for that. We'll definitely, is there something else that you wanted to add before we move on? Because I'm sure we'll be talking more about the Sentai throughout the season.
Just know that as cool as the Psycho Rangers are, how they come to be in Mega Ranger is also equally, if not maybe a little bit more cool.
Don't spoil too much for us, but we appreciate
it. I won't.
Ben.
All right. I'm really, really lost. So the Sentai is about video games and virtual reality.
Yes.
So why do they have a spaceship?
So if I can read real fast from the Ranger Wiki, this might help explain it a little more.
Okay.
So Kenta Date, who's the Red Ranger, is recruited by the iNet company. They assess his skills because of that video game, and he gets recruited on this top secret project, which is tied to the Mega Ranger game. And this company is investigating a mysterious research being done by scientists. Hold on. Sorry, I had an ADHD moment. There's weird stuff happening in space, and they're researching what's happening. And the iNet chief reveals that they're fighting these aliens, and they have this spaceship and everything that's set up, and it's literally like almost like a military base kind of thing operation that they have. And this spaceship that goes up into space, it doesn't make sense to me either, because like so little of it actually takes place in space. But I guess wanted this really cool like space kind of setting for the Megazord battles to happen in there. But I don't know, I'll say this much, because I'm confused as well by that season. It makes so much more sense in space for them to be doing that than it does in the Sentai. This is the one time I think the Power Ranger season did this way better than the Sentai. Because so it's just, not.
So just to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
Power Rangers cherry picked the space stuff.
Yes.
Or is it a case of when they were developing in space, they were told one thing, but then something else ended up happening on the Sentai end? Because I know that happened for Lost Galaxy.
I want to say probably told, oh yeah, there's this huge NASA element to it, and that led to them doing this, and then it wound up being, oh, actually it's about like video games and technology. And so they just went, well, there's enough space footage that we can use. Screw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for that. That was really interesting.
Your tone of voice says otherwise.
I am just very tired. It's been a long week. And also, I just don't care that much about the Sentai.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I do.
Next season, we make Sasha watch the Sentai.
Next season, Michael doesn't exist anymore because he got destroyed.
There's horses in Ginga Man. Anyways.
Okay, so on that note, moving on. How do we feel about the suits, guys? Do we like the suits? The colorful suits and the color changes.
I love the suits.
Okay, we got one for liking the suits, one for shaking his head.
No real strong opinions about these suits one way or another. Like, all I... When I first see the suit, right, and I see the... And I saw the colored grid on the chest, the very first thing that went through my head is huh, that Red Ranger's got a lot of nipples.
Ben, this is what? Not the Power/Rangers deboot. This is in space. Come on, this is still children friendly.
No, I'm serious. it's just what went through my head.
I've got nipples, TJ. Can you milk me?
Okay, children, stop.
I don't know. I don't have the yellow collars. They're a bit weird to me. On the other, because like you have the triangle around the collar that's yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bit weird for me.
It does tend to stand out, especially on like
Carlos in the black.
Yeah.
Do you know what that yellow triangle evokes to me? Like people with a popped collar on a polo shirt.
I can see that. I can see that. Okay.
Because it's drawing all the attention to their neck.
I will never be able to unsee this. This will be the only thing my brain focuses on for the rest of this season.
Thank you
so freaking much for that.
You're welcome.
You know, I will say this much, because I have the Rangers up on my shelf and I'm like looking at the figures of them, and I absolutely see the collar. And the only thing I think is, that would make a really good ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the suits, they're fine. They're not horrible. There's probably been worse outfits. I probably like in the Sentai pre Power Rangers, there are probably some outfits that make you go, they were wearing what?
Yeah.
I actually
Goggle 5 is awful.
Like I kind of like the I kind of like the helmets a little bit. I do think the helmets are a little cool.
Yeah, I like the helmets.
I do. It would have been cool to see them actually utilize like the stuff that like shows up in the helmet a little bit. I think that's one of the reasons why I did find it a little cool that they did have stuff like that pop up.
It's like a screen.
But but because they don't really utilize that in Power Rangers, it's kind of like a throwaway.
It's really weird when the Power Rangers don't have the coolest suits in their own show.
Yeah.
Because like the Psycho Rangers show up and you go, yeah, that's way cooler.
Guys, we're not there yet. We're only here talking about this two-parter, okay?
Save I like it how for Brian us. Shows a Psycho Ranger toy. It's like, this is an audio podcast, but here, let me show this toy anyways.
Well, he's it to us. Who not the
We didn't have show,
I'm not showing
on it,
to,
Mike.
I'm sure
not showing
our
it to all of America.
Listeners.
I'm showing it to you because you're my friends.
I'm sure our 5 listeners appreciate you making a note of that, Mike. Okay.
Can I just say, like, you know, I get that they can seem kind of blood. I think they look clean. I think they, especially considering how busy the turbo suits were. They're clean. And I like how simple they are. Because, like, the last suits were so busy. But, anyways.
Yeah, I agree with you to some extent there, Brian. Just because the turbo suits, I'm looking at them now, they're too busy. There's, like, stuff on the helmets, and there's lights and things. And it's just, like, it's a bit... I get where you're coming from.
Right, but there's stuff like that on the in-space suits as well. Like, there's all the stuff on the chest, and there's like four different shapes in the helmet alone.
Right, but it still looks very sleek. There's no, like, extra baubles or, like, metal framing or, like...
See, I like that.
Okay, to each their own, folks.
Fair enough.
Sorry, Ben, go ahead.
I was just saying, I like it when silhouettes are broken up, right? If you lined up all six... in Space Rangers and colored them black, they'd all look the same. You wouldn't be able to tell them apart by their silhouette.
That's right? Very true.
Whereas in a very small amount of things, you could do that with the Turbo Rangers.
So while our Rangers are abandoned, there's a couple of things happening, right? So we already mentioned that Deka and Alpha are trying to convince Andros to go back for the Rangers. Astronomer, meanwhile, is going to come at the Rangers, who have no powers. But there's one other little thing that's happening here. Alpha's fiddling with a little box that they recovered from the power chamber. And I think this also goes back to what we were talking about, how elements that are established do come back up again. We can't just, there's a simple explanation our way out of this. It does reach a point. So we already talked about Astronema chewing the scenery, but let's talk a little bit more about Astronema chewing the scenery. What do you guys think overall about her introduction here as our main villain?
I think it's good. I mean, like I had mentioned it earlier in this episode where, you know, like when Ben brought up the fact that she's chewing the scenery, like you literally see her on a set that makes it look like she's on her ship. And she's just like, you know, like just chewing that scenery, like giving those directives of destroy the Rangers and stuff like that. It's like, you know, so it shows that she's like focused on her task at hand. So I thought it was, you know, good. And then, you know, they morph and it does Power Ranger things. So, but I think, you know, because we've alluded to it, you know, because we've talked about it in past seasons a little bit, like, I think as this season goes on and the story continues, this is a character who's going to get a lot of character development.
Well, yeah.
So.
Well, you can't judge it based off character development. You kind of have to judge it from these two episodes only.
I hated it.
Tell me more, Ben.
Like, we just went from one incredibly scene-chewy villainess to another. Right? I'm going to use a wrestling analogy here, so bear with me. Right? Back in the 80s and the early 90s, every wrestling promo was big, muscled men screaming. I'm gonna get you, right? And there was one person, Jake the Snake Roberts, who was a thin, lithe guy, and he never rose his voice above talking like this. And every time he made a threat, believed it. Believed it in your heart, hearts. This man is going hurt you. And that's what we needed. We needed a Jake the Snake Roberts here. It would be fine if something happens later in the season to send Astronema off the deep end into the overacting before whatever character development happens. But here, we needed to differentiate her from Diva Tox and Rita. And we just got insane. You know, the Lego movie. they introduce Wild Child in the Lego movie, right? And I've had this conversation with a lot of my female friend. And rather than taking the time to make us like Wild Child and see her in action and let us know she's a strong female character, they just tell us she's a strong female character, right? Rather than make us care about Andromeda and make us believe that she's the queen of all evil, they just tell us that she's the queen of all evil, right?
Yeah.
And I think what they needed to do is have Astronomer earn the title a little.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it was very much handed to her in those first 5 minutes without, like, it's like, okay, why is it going to her?
But I guess maybe that's kind of the thing, right? Because as the season progresses, we do learn a lot about why Astronema is the villain of the season. So maybe it's a way to give us something familiar so to then kind of throw us off the axis later, maybe. But I don't know yet, because I haven't watched past the Ninja Turtles episode.
What I'm trying to say is, at the end of last season, we saw someone actually defeat the Power Rangers. Like, actually win. And in now, we're just being told, no, the person who defeated the Power Rangers, they're not the queen of evil. This person in head-to-toe PVC is the queen of all evil. She's missing, like, a whip and some handcuffs, right? That's all she's missing.
At the same time, right, her design and her attitude are just, like, maybe different enough that for the viewers that stuck around, it was great. But for everyone else, maybe it's, you know, just trying something a little bit different to get viewers to tune in.
Yeah.
Because Astronema is a little bit younger. She's got the cool purple hair. She looks a little edgier.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for those of us who have stuck around, right? And even those of us that haven't, because we watched the previously in Power Rangers, we know Diva Talks won.
Yeah.
And then rather than giving us a moment where Astronomer outsmarts Diva Talks or shows Diva Talks is not on her level, what we actually get is weird catty infighting between Diva Talks and Rita. And then we're told Astronema is the queen of all evil. They could have done so much more with it. And I guess that's what the question was.
No, that's all fair. All opinions are valid. When it comes to Power Rangers and specifically in our show. So let's just kind of talk about how this two-parter ends, which is that Astronema does not get to destroy the Power Rangers. Our Rangers get new suits. And about that black box, what did that black box do? Why is it important? Because nothing is cooler than a little spaceship that transforms into a Megazord with a big spaceship.
We are told that it is Zordon's master plan, which means Zordon foresaw he was going to get captured, foresaw that the Rangers were going to get defeated by Divatox, and just at the moment Divatox got her victory, he was going to get called away by Dark Spectre, which means he foresaw that the Rangers would then chase Divatox into space, which means he then foresaw...
I think
Zordon's had a little too much time in that tube.
Our entire shtick is being 40-year-olds that take a kid's show way too seriously. Okay?
Okay, but there is a simpler explanation.
How?
Tell us, Gosei, tell us.
Okay, I don't think Zordon foresaw all of this necessarily. However, given that all of our external threats have been space-based, right? It's different aliens coming to Earth. It is not entirely out of the realm of possibility that at some point the Rangers might need to help somebody else. Or maybe then again, there's
His
teleportation and they go
master
to the moon. I
plan,
don't know.
his master plan involved a black box that told a very specific spaceship how to interface with another very specific spaceship piloted by one very specific ranger and turn into a Megazord. When we already know you can teleport to other planets.
Damn it, you're right. I got nothing.
Nasada does wonderful things for Zordon.
Zordon's
Where did the
contingency.
money come from for this?
Government? I don't know.
Zordon's
Zordon's
been on
con
Earth for like 20,000 years. He doesn't have an investment portfolio. Like, come on.
I mean,
The
really.
man's probably got stock in Apple.
I mean, also keep in mind the upkeep of the command center for the longest time. I mean, that energy bill had to be something of a pricey point, you know?
Sure.
Zordon traveled into the future, bought stocks in Amazon and Apple.
Wait. There weren't stocks for those companies then yet.
That's why I use the phrase traveled into the future, Mike. It's a perfectly good qualifier that explains he moved forward in time to when there were stocks for those companies.
I would have accepted Disney and IBM, but
Fair
okay.
enough, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
The investment portfolio's exact companies do not matter here.
Well,
It
either
is
that or
weird
he's got like
though.
some space generator and he's selling power to the
Oh,
government.
no, dude,
That
no,
does
no, dude.
explain why there's an
No,
abandoned warehouse district. What?
Ben, I got it, I got it. Remember we had the Wild West Rangers episode?
Oh
Yeah,
yes.
the gold rush.
The gold rush.
He had a whole bunch of gold and then he brought it to the to and he just sold it to the government to
Is
help.
there another command center under Fort Knox?
Maybe.
No,
I would not
there
be
is
surprised at
not.
this point.
There
For
you go.
Prince
That we
Zordon and the
figured it
government
out.
had their limits.
Part of me, I swear, listens to the logic of like how Zordon's able to like have contingency plan upon contingency plan, which honestly, the level of this kind of would make Batman blush. And it's like you have like the Bill and Ted ability to like just say, okay, I need a black box with a master plan, a black box with a master plan, and then can travel and make that happen. You know, it's like, oh, it just shows up now or something. You know, I don't know, because honestly, nothing else seems to make sense at this point. I don't know.
I'm tired. Ugh,
Me
this was
too.
a lot, guys.
You guys on the podcast didn't watch it, but when we were going off on that thing about there being a command center on Fort Knox, Sasha fell out of her chair.
I didn't fall out. I slid down because I was laughing so hard. I was still firmly attached to the chair.
She sunk into the chair even further.
Oh, I'm having trouble breathing now because I'm just picturing so many of Zordon just like twiddling his hair in the tube, being like, I need to come up with backup plans for my backup plans.
Like, what we don't know is, like, you know, when they went down and they created Tommy as the White Ranger, you go further down and there's a whole like Minority Report set up where like people are doing thought crime crap into the future, and like Zordon seeing like Zordon is responsible for shorting GameStop, okay?
Oh my God.
So
Okay,
Zordon's the reason why
so
GameStop became a meme stock.
on that note, the episode comes to an end where they form the Astro Megazord. They defeat the ship and they decide to return to Earth. But part of their mission is that they're going to fight Dark Spectre while keeping their search for Zordon. And they'll have to make some repairs because, you know, the Astro Megazord is kind of a new thing and it got to, the mega ship was damaged and so they're gonna go to Earth and make some repairs, and Andros gets to experience what the Earthlings experience, whatever that is in the 90s.
Cool.
All right. So on that lovely note, Brian, where can the people? Oh wait, I guess before we get to the social medias, are there any other points or questions people want
I
to bring
do
up that have
feel
not been?
that with myself, Mike, and Brian on this podcast, especially given the hat that Brian is wearing, it would
Yes.
be remiss to talk about this episode came out of nowhere like an RKO. But that's just a reference for the wrestling peeps.
And the
Fantastic.
rest of us rolling our eyes.
Roll
Hey, what do
away,
you think?
friends. I give no cares.
We're
Are there
missing
any other
SmackDown to record
points?
this.
Are there any other points or anything else that we didn't discuss about the episodes that you guys want to bring up? I feel like we covered most of it.
I do
There
have
is.
one thing.
Go ahead.
One thing. So, very beginning of episode two, when they run off the ship, thing I could think is that it's an alien planet. Is there air? You don't know.
Right, but we find out in Lost Galaxy that there's air on the moon.
Season later.
Yeah. Anyway, I had another point that I thought was really quite neat. We get the first scenes of the Andros Ashley romance, which is quite cool. And there's a really nice moment. I can't remember which wh when it specifically is, but Andros uses one of his abilities, and I think it's TJ's like, I need to try that. And that's what sort of drives him to call on his weapon, right? Because I think he's got the staff, and then Ashley's got like a slingshot.
Yep.
Cassie's got like a radar dish gun thing.
Yep.
And I forget what Carlos has.
I
Carlos, I
think
think,
it's
had the
a,
staff.
yeah.
Carlos has a staff.
What does TJ have then?
He has an axe.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's always an axe, guys.
Always an
And they
axe.
also will, I don't know if it was in this episode, but we do see the, at least for Andros, when he's flying on his little hoverboard, because he had his weapon, right? And he loses it for a bit. And then he uses the Astro Blaster as well. And then he
And
goes back and picks up his weapon.
but for the Astro Blaster for Andros, he's able to break it up into two and do dual blasters.
Yeah, it has
Yeah.
like a dual action mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of
Which is
dope.
dope.
Yeah. I think it is worth saying that, and I want to bring this up now because I'm not sure if I'll remember to bring it up the next time that we have a group episode. One of the things I think In Space has that other seasons didn't is it has more of an internal structure to it. Like from Mighty Morphin and for Zeo and Turbo, they were at their best when it wasn't just another Monster of the Week episode, right? But because the storylines in those seasons were basically villain shows up, lots of Monster of the Week episodes, we defeat the monster, right? Whereas here there's this through line of also like searching for Zordon, learning each other's powers. Where are we gonna go? Let's interface with other people who are searching for Zordon. There's this resistance storyline that goes through. Even while there are certainly Monster of the Week episodes, there's more of a skeleton to this season. And it's something we see almost blueprinted in future seasons where there are filler episodes and there are like storyline episodes, right?
Well,
And
I think a big part of that was because of the fact that this show at this point was essentially canceled,
but
and they threw the kitchen sink at it.
yeah. And what I'm saying is the reason why it worked better than like a Turbo or a Zeo is because it has this skeletal structure rather than this trying to make like point A, point B, and then like a John Madden telestrator in the middle where you don't know quite where you're going, right? You actually have like A, B, C, D, E, and then how you get between each letter is the filler part, right?
Yeah. But
Which
I definitely think the fact that this series franchise was essentially at that point essentially canceled
Yeah, we know.
It gave him that opportunity to really throw that.
We've referenced it like three or four times.
It gave him that chance to really want to do it.
But that's the thing is, I don't think that's what gave them the freedom to do it, right? They had the freedom to do it all along. They could have done it in Turbo. They could have done it in Zio. They just didn't. And then when they found something that worked and saved the franchise, they then stuck to that format. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, I will say, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I do want to say, having watched In Space when I did, which was like, I think I watched it in 2022. That was the first time I watched it. And having stuck with the feelings that I had when I watched Turbo as a kid, I feel like you absolutely hit the nail on the head there. And that's kind of what, even if I didn't know it at the time, that's kind of what I was missing, is I needed a structured story. I needed there to be a point for there to be all these crazy weapons and suits. And, you know, I needed there to be, it doesn't have to be much. It just has to be something to move the story forward. Because if we're all just standing around in like tights with these really cool little weapons blasting around every episode, like, what's the point? What are we doing here? So I completely agree with you.
I'm so bemused by the fact that, you know, we've had so many conversations where Mike and Brian were like, you know, we're the OGs. We watched this as a kid. And yet out of the four of us, I'm the only one that actually watched Power Rangers in Space for the first time when I was still a kid. I was like, I don't know, 9, 11, 10, 11, something like that.
I'm super looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
I don't think it'll play out that as much as you think, considering I've rewatched it multiple times since
then. Well, no, I'm talking with these two.
Oh, yeah.
The other like, as Brian just said, he watched In Space for the first time in 2022, which is the year I watched In Space for the first time. Right? So he and I are coming at this from very similar sort of perspectives. We're like 2 years out from our first watching. This is our second watch through of the season.
Yeah, like, and I'm literally watching this a decade after it came out on DVD.
I'm so super
wild.
On top of being super excited for better Power Rangers, I'm super excited to see how seeing the three of you have different viewpoints to the way that you have had for the last five seasons.
I want to pull the curtain back on this, but like when we had our meeting where we divvied out the episodes and what episodes we were going to do, there was that conversation of like, you know, the nostalgia glasses technically came off for me season two of Mighty Morphin. It came off for Brian in Turbo when that they did the team change. And, you know, so, you know, as that time went on, it, you know, you kind of saw it naturally anyways, because of the fact that, you know, of our different drop-off times from when we first started watching, from Day of the Dumpster to whenever we dropped off. So.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. More, please.
I guess on that note, if no one else has notes, going once? Going
I literally yeeted twice? My notes to the side. I'm done.
All right, then. Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me on TikTok at BlueRangerB_RYE, BlueRangerBRY. And you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22.
All right. Ben, what about you? Where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on twitch.tv/321_TV every Monday and Friday around 3:30 Eastern until about 6:30. Currently playing through some Final Fantasy 14 with my good friend Jordan Johnson. Stay tuned for other social medias.
Dun, dun, dun. For me, you can find me over at the Jewish Comics Queen on Instagram and Threads. And Michael, where can the people find you and this fabulous show on the social medias?
So for the show, you can find it on social media at VFTG_PR for both Twitter, Instagram, and actually there is a Facebook. I don't know if it's officially VFTG underscore PR, but just look up Voices from the Grid on Facebook. We have updated the link tree as well to include it. Obviously, since the last time we did one of these, because we know Turbo's is coming out while we're recording this, so it has some old information in that. Google Podcast or Music, whatever it was called, is no longer a thing. It's now up on YouTube. So the link for that is also in the link tree as well. And
your social medias.
And then mine, for me specifically, it's at the Lindenbaum 75. I've just kind of rebranded everything for me. So it's just at the Lindenbaum 75 and then Facebook at X75 Productions and TXHTHockey.com for everything else I'm doing. And if you haven't, based on the time of this, please check out my docuseries, So Close, the story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals. It is something that has been my passion project for a while, and check it out.
And with that, Ben, take us out.
Oh, it is good to be back together. It's good to be in a place where no one can hear you scream in space. And with that, we will leave you. The words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. As I say, guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all of those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And until our next more phenomenal episode,
let's rock it.
What's your plan?